The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 6. We'll start the reading at verse 20. Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 20. And turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way." Pray with me. Father, help us now as we come to your heavy words, where you are announcing reality. Help us as we check ourselves to see if we have been thinking and feeling in accordance with reality, or if we have been deceived in some way, or if we are victims of vain speculation raised up against the knowledge of you. So bless us now, God. Remove the scales from our eyes, that we would see rightly and that we would feel rightly, that we would respond rightly and do what is right and good and just and pure in your sight, that you would be glorified. We do need you. Please help us now. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of us imagine that in this life, if things are easy, things are good. Some of us imagine that in this life, if we're happy, things are good. I was talking to my grandmother at one point, and I was talking about a family member who was obviously living in sin, as we would describe it. And as we were talking about the circumstances of this family member, my grandmother shrugged and said, "Well, at least he's happy. That's the main thing." And I looked at her and I shook my head and I said, "No, that is not the main thing. Being happy now is not the main thing. The main thing in life is seeking to glorify God and doing what he says and living in accordance with that." And I got this scoff that said, "Okay, Micah." And she rolled her eyes. We look at our lives and we imagine, if I feel good, if I'm happy in the moment, things are good, that I'm okay. Any of us who have been married any length of time, we can know that there can be a momentary happiness, but underneath or down deep, there's a deep problem that actually needs to be dealt with and answered. As we go through life, we see here in the scripture that there's going to be a weight on the Christian, a weight on our Christian life that it's going to look like conflict. It's going to look like pain. It's going to look like pressure. It's going to look like tension, friction in our lives. And here Jesus, as he speaks to us, he says, when these things are happening, when it hurts, when people hate you, when you're hungry, when you are poor, when there are all these things coming in upon you, then it's good. In fact, then you're blessed. This is what it's supposed to look like, Jesus says. Now, as we take that idea in, this is a hard thing for us. This is a heavy thing for us. I don't know how many of us this week have been hated for the sake of the gospel. In fact, throughout this week, if anyone has hated you at all, you probably thought, well, they're just a jerk, or I need to change something. We see that there is an active reality that's taking place, that there is supposed to be an actual anger and aggression towards you as you live for Christ Jesus in this world. Now, Jesus takes it a step further. He doesn't just say, as some people will talk about the Ten Commandments and pretend like, say, they're not the Ten Suggestions. Jesus actually takes us and says, there's an opposite to this as well. He says, if everyone's speaking well of you, you're actually cursed. See, and that's this weird thing, because it's kind of what we're all shooting for. We want, when we get up in the morning, we would love it, for those of us who have close family members living with us, we'd want all of them to be loving us and thinking well of us. We would love to drive to work, and as we go through traffic, we would love people to honk and say, nice driving, good job. We would love to show up and have all of our bosses and everybody we work with say, there's a great guy. Wow, we all love him. We want to come home and we want our dog to love us and be happy about us. We want to go through the day. We want everybody to love us and to speak well of us. And then we would come together at prayer meeting and say, give us a good thing from your week. We could actually say, everybody liked me this week. Everybody liked me. It was great. And if we caught ourselves saying, all men speak well of me, maybe then it would ring in our ears. We'd say, whoa, wait a second. Something must be off. Jesus is laying it out and he says, if everybody is speaking well of you, you're way off at this point. In fact, he's saying, you're probably cursed at this point because you're not living in the gospel. You're not actually speaking the gospel. Because the gospel is that great tension in the world. The gospel is that great division in this world. I heard one preacher speak about the power of Jesus and how great Jesus is. And he described it this way. That Jesus, when he stepped into the world, he cut time in half. Before Christ and after Christ. Jesus made the statement, don't imagine that I've come to the world to bring peace. I haven't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And I wonder what the disciples did when he said that. He said, I've come to divide family members, father from son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. He's saying there's going to be tension, and I am at the middle of it. Would that play out at your job? If the gospel were there and spoken clearly, would that play out at any of your functions, the things that you do throughout the week? If the gospel were spoken clearly, would this play out? Would it cause a division? Would it do it in your home? Would it do it in your extended family? Would it do it in any of the places where you live? It would, wouldn't it? When a gospel is laid out clearly, it causes a division and it causes tension. And Jesus says, when you are living in this, you're blessed. When you're living out the reality of the gospel and you feel these tensions, you are blessed. Now, as we're stepping into this, and here's our first step, is to focus on eternal blessing. And as I'm looking at this now, maybe we could have change the order of this a little bit, because this first step assumes attention in your life from the gospel. And that might be too much of an assumption, even for all of us. So we'll be taking a couple steps back after we go through this first step. So the first step is focus on eternal blessing. Verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Now, how can he say that you're blessed when, let's look at it again, when men hate you? When one person hates me, it bugs me to death. Drives me nuts. Just one person hating me. Drives me nuts. If I just have tension with one person, if I have tension with one of you, it can bother my heart on the way to church. It can bother my heart when I walk through the door. It could, might even bother my heart as I stand up here. Just tension with one person. Here, taken to the extreme, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you. That is, to put you off, to get rid of you. Blessed are you when men insult you. Blessed are men who scorn your name as evil. Now, why does he say this? He says this because in verse 23, because you have a reward in heaven. Can you deal with a pain now for a reward in heaven? And this will have more application. Can you even deal with discomfort now for a reward in heaven? In places in the scripture, Paul makes these analogies and compares the Christian walk to different athletic events. Talks about boxing, talks about fighting, talks about running the race. Well, the first time I took Nate out running, and we're over here at the Geneva track, and we're trudging along, and we get three quarters of the way around the track, he says, "I need a break." I said, "No, son, you don't." He said, "But it hurts." I said, "Yep, if you're uncomfortable, and you're going to learn discomfort isn't necessarily a bad thing." My brother, who's a wrestling coach, he's got these soft kids now, or he was a wrestling coach. He had these soft kids that came out, and he's teaching this big, strong kid to wrestle, and they're down on the mat, and the kid says, "Coach, coach, I must be doing this wrong." And my brother comes over and asks, "Well, why do you think you're doing it wrong?" He said, "Cause he's on my leg, and it kind of hurts." My brother said, "This is wrestling. It's supposed to hurt. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. If it hurts, the Christian life, it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. If it hurts, it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong if people are standing against you. It's saying that you're running this race and it hurts, but you're on your way to the finish. You're on your way to something better." I frankly get concerned in situations and in churches where there's no tension. If there is no push and pull, if there's no spurring on in love and in good deeds. But we set our mind on the eternal blessing. So the happy place isn't now, the safe place isn't now. The happy place and the safe place is later. And we look at our circumstances now and we think, I can deal with this now for the sake of later. Now, why are people supposed to hate you? Why is the idea there? Is it because you're an insufferable jerk? Nope. Is it because you always know the right answer? No. Is it because you've arrived and you are smarter than everybody else? No. We're going to say it is specifically for the name of Jesus. So I do the Bible study at Trails, and I'll just use Katie as an example. Because me and Katie, we're the only RPs in the room when we're there. And she knows how they look at me when I'm teaching. And sometimes Katie will say, I know we look like jerks. She said, "I went to Geneva, and I was one of the people over there that used to make fun of the RPs." There's this place and there's this danger and there's this tension that we come across as if we're the ones who have arrived. We've got it figured out. And they're not supposed to hate you for being RP. That's not why people are to be against us. It's at the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll be taking a careful look at that So our second step now is to look for eternal blessing tied to being hated. Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Let's go ahead and roll into 23. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. All right, so check this out. This idea of it being tied together or linked together. It's not just saying, bless, 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 bless. Saying, bless, 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 if. If this is the reality that they hate you because of the name of Jesus. Can you bear that tension? Will you bear that tension? And we see that that tension is linked to that blessedness, being in Christ Jesus. Now, he lays it out this way, when people separate from you. Now, why do they separate from you? Is it because you're a jerk? Because you have all of the answers? Because you've arrived? Because you're smarter than everybody else? Because your doctrine is so refined that they separate from you? No. They separate from you because of the name of Jesus. Blessed are you when they insult you. Because you're a jerk? Because you've got it all worked out? Because your doctrine's so refined? Nope. Because of the name of Jesus. Do you see the difference? One is, you're a jerk because you only sing the Psalms and you think everybody who sings hymns is wrong. Therefore, I separate from you and I don't talk to you. The difference is, the other side is, you say Jesus is king? You say Jesus is the only way to heaven? You say Jesus speaks the living word and he tells us exactly what we need for faith and life in the scripture? So I separate from you. Look at the difference. Blessed are you when they consider you evil because of the name of Jesus. And again, the other side is laid out in verses 24, 25, and 26. But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And verse 26, which is particularly relevant for this morning. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. So our third step is stand for Jesus as the Son of Man. Again, verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Now, why is Jesus being categorized here specifically as the Son of Man? We look at the scripture and we could run all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and we see that the one was going to be born who is the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ, God himself, coming in the flesh. Why did he come in the flesh? He came in the flesh to be that high priest who suffered in our place. He came in the flesh to be tempted in every way, just as you and I have been tempted. He came in the flesh to do that, to take the death that you and I deserve as that kinsman redeemer, as that rescue for everyone. Jesus Christ comes as the Son of Man to be prophet, to be priest, to be king. And when you stand for Christ Jesus as prophet, as priest, as king, those realities in this world, everyone who says he is not the prophet, he is not the one who has spoken the one way to the living God, they will hate you. When you say he is the priest, he is the one who laid down his life and there is salvation and rescue in no one else, everyone else who says you don't need saved, you don't need rescued, that there are endless ways to God, they will hate you. Their tolerance will go as far as the truth. And then they will hate you when it gets to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you stand for Christ Jesus as King, that he rules over all things, that he will judge the living and the dead, he is a rewarder of those who seek him, a rewarder of good, a punisher of evil, the rest of them will hate you. You don't have to go out of your way to be hated. You don't have to be especially precise in your theology to be hated. You only have to stand for Jesus as he really is, the prophet, the priest, and the king. You'll be hated. If you have unbelievers in your home, you'll be hated. If you have unbelievers in your extended family, you'll be hated. If you have unbelievers at your workplace, you will be hated. And blessed are you when men hate you for the sake of the name of Jesus. Now, as we look at this, I understand it's not a particularly good motivator to say, you want people to hate you. Let's work on this together. So we move to our fourth step, which is be a God pleaser. Can you weigh that out and see the opposite of it? The opposite of being a God pleaser. The opposite of being a God pleaser is being a man pleaser. Verse 26, we see the heart of the man pleaser, or how it's laid out in the essence of it. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. To be a God pleaser means to walk in accordance with truth. That's the main thing. If God's happy with you, cool. If God's happy with you, you can be okay with that. If God's happy with you, you count yourself blessed, even if others are angry with you, even if others hate you, even if others ostracize you, that is, don't associate with you, even if others count your name as evil. In John 3:19, we see this picture of love and hatred and the nature of it as we deal with the world. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and this is Jesus Christ. And men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. You see this? And I'm saying great separation, not in the idea of quality, but quantity. This is the separation in the world between the gospel and being saved and rejecting the gospel and moving to hell. So we see in our relationships, the life patterns and the vain speculations, we see and we answer these snares of the devil, the statement that is being made here in the same way they loved the false prophets. If you're looking in your outline, there's several examples given, the ways that they spoke to the real prophets. I'm just going to highlight here Isaiah 30:10, but it's throughout the prophets. So these people of the world who reject the one true God, they say to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Now, I haven't heard them say it in those words, but isn't that the heart of it? Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me the way. Don't give me the light. They want the lie that we're all okay. They want to believe there is no actual truth. They want shadow, and they want to dwell in the shadow. Prophesy illusions, just give me something to make me comfortable now. And we're dealing with a bit of that idea as we look at this section in the Beatitudes, the section of Luke chapter 6. Is it about comfort? Is comfort now the goal? We're standing with Christ Jesus, the goal. James 4:4. I can't imagine James was a very popular preacher, the ways that he spoke, and yet he ends up in the canon of Scripture. He shouts to the church, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Sounds like he was at the Sermon on the Mount, doesn't it? And he's laying out this truth. So as we look at this and look at being a God pleaser, speaking the truth to the world, this brings us to our fifth step, which is be encouraged, walking in holy steps. Verse 23, "Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets." This idea of the ways that the prophets were treated. It was horrible and disgusting. You read through and you find Jeremiah. Poor, poor Jeremiah. As he does his thing and he's given these sad, hard things that he's given to do from God. God tells him to get a sword, shave your head and shave your beard. God tells him, take your hair and weigh it out. 3 even portions, and you have to go and you have to stand before the people and burn this portion and throw this one in the fire and do this and throw this one to the wind. So there he stands with his terrible shave job in front of the people. And then he's taken, and the king says, take him and throw him in a well. And they take him and they throw him in a well, as he describes being sunk up to his neck in there. He was hated. He was treated terribly. Well, we look in the ways that the prophets were treated and the things that happened to them are sad and terrible. Jesus said, which of the prophets didn't you kill? When he's talking to the Pharisees. We're talking about hated to the point of death. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. You live like me, they'll hate you. You talk like me, they're going to hate you. You stand with me, they are going to hate you. But there's a better picture that is given of the relationship of the prophets. In Sabbath school this morning, we read the section in the Exodus where it talked about Moses talking with God as with a friend, face to face. There's the friend that you need and want. The one true God. Ezekiel, I've talked about this in our prayer meeting this past week. Ezekiel, in the story, starts off and he sees this vision. And he sees the 4 living creatures who are these terrifying monsters that are coming with 4 different heads, 4 different faces on their head, and these wings and these strange wheels that are following them as they fly through the air. In chapter 3, it describes God coming in the darkness at this point. Ezekiel's sitting there, and it says the Spirit stands him up. So he's sitting. He stood up. And then when God comes in the blackness and his glory is there and lightning is flying forth from this fire that's in the midst of this black storm, it says then that it lifted him, the Spirit lifts Ezekiel up and he hears this booming sound and he looks around and those living creatures are behind him floating there. So there's Ezekiel in the air, in the blackness with God's glory in front of him. And everybody giggled a bit when I giggled at the prayer meeting this past week. This amazing scene that this is. This is the place of the prophet. This is the place of being lifted up, being in the presence of God. This is the place of talking to God face to face. We've been talking about the idea of friendship. Friendship comes in time. When you know each other well enough that you actually trust each other, do you struggle with trusting God? Spend more time with him. Listen to him. Pray to him. Get to know him. And then we are in these holy steps of the prophets. You are the prophets as you speak what God says in this world. As we read in Micah chapter 5, there's this picture of the Israelites spread throughout the world. And this idea that they're the strength and they're the presence among the nations. You are a partial fulfillment of that. You are the strength of God. The presence of God, the prophet of God, the priest of God in this world. Will you stand for and speak for Jesus Christ, prophet, priest, and king? And this brings us to our sixth step. Give your heart to eternal joy. And with this now, I invite you to consider, where has your joy been this week? What is the good thing from your week? Is it a beautiful moment with the Lord? Is it knowing Him? Is it walking with Him? Is it speaking on His behalf? We look and we see that our hearts are to be happy, not in the absence of friction in this world. Friction is meant to be a given, but it's a happiness above and beyond the friction and the tensions of this world as people hate you because of the name of Jesus. As people separate themselves because of the name of Jesus. As people count your name as evil because of the name of Jesus. We look and we see that there is a great reward, a holy reward. Luke 18, 29 through 30. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life." Tensions, yep. Stress, yes. Division, yes. Hatred, yeah. But eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So I invite you to this place, living for this eternal glory. That the gospel will be the reality of our lives. The heart, your heart of hearts. And therefore, flowing from that, even in the midst of your conversations, the gospel will be there. The name of Jesus will be there. The prophet, the priest, and the king. Stand with him and glory in him in the midst of these tensions. Pray with me. God, help us now as we evaluate our lives and as we evaluate our relationships to see if this tension that's stated as the reality of the Christian life is there. And if it's not, why it's not? It would help us as we would look at our relationships and see if we need to repent. If there are conversations that we need to have. If there's true love that we need to share. As we would share your gospel with the lost. As we would offer respectful and gentle tension in our relationships, even with believers. That we would be seeking those things that are good as we acknowledge your Son as King of our lives. That you would be glorified. Lord, help us to seek you, to know you as prophet. To read about you and to read and hear you in your word. That we will know you and that we will trust you. And that we will even do things for you and speak of you as our best friend and as our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.